independent physician practices are disappearing. 20 years ago, most doctors worked for themselves. But after two decades of buying sprees by hospitals, retail pharmacy chains, insurers, and private equity groups, just a quarter of docs practice on their own.
I think the ability to practice this kind of medicine is going away.
Today, what happens when physicians no longer run their own shops? And one doc debates whether to stay after her practice was bought up by a huge health insurer. From the studio at the Leonard Davis Institute at the University of Pennsylvania, I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs. Oregon primary care doctor Gwen O'Keefe faced a tough choice. She had been professionally satisfied, working in an independent practice in Western Oregon owned by physicians. But in March, United Health Group, the nation's largest health insurance company, bought out the office. All of a sudden, Gwen had to weigh whether to become one of 400,000 employees at this Fortune 5 national firm. Here to walk us through Gwen's choice and take a closer look at the loss of independent practices is reporter-producer Alex Olgan. Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dan. Hi.
So, look, Alex, Gwen's dilemma is obviously important to her, and at the same time, it captures this shifting landscape where we're seeing fewer and fewer independent docs in business. What happened when you went to meet with her?
So last month, I drove out to her place about an hour south of Portland. I pulled up to a cute yellow three-bedroom home on a quiet street. Gardening gloves, shovels, and soil were strewn on the back patio. And you know, Gwen is 57. She and her husband came here 3 years ago with the idea that this would be her last stop in her career as a doctor.
I was looking for a smaller town, like a college town. My daughter moved here. My parents are here. My sister's here. So I have a lot of roots in the state. And I was looking forward to getting back to working with a team of internists doing primary care in a non-corporate medicine clinic.
And Dan, for Gwen, working for the 100-provider Corvallis Clinic really seemed like a dream job.
So I really wanted the opportunity to go back to being able to focus on the two joys of internal medicine for me, which is the diagnostic dilemmas and figuring out the mystery and developing long-term relationships with patients and being able to help them in their healthcare journeys.
But 18 months after she started, the doctors who owned the clinic sold it to Optum. For Gwen, that would likely mean more patients and shorter appointments. At this stage in her career, Gwen liked taking her time with patients, particularly her elderly ones, looking them in the eye, going slow.
The average age of my patients was in their mid-70s. I had a lot of patients up in the 80s, 90s, and several centenarians. And in a geriatric population, there's a lot going on, and so you need the time to be able to explain things.
When Gwen thinks about the kind of medicine that she wants to practice, one case jumps to mind. A woman in her early 60s came into her office back in 2022. We're going to call this woman Sarah. Sarah was struggling to breathe. A previous doctor blamed the breathing problems on Sarah's weight, but the whole diagnosis just seemed off. Pretty quickly, Gwen realized this was one of those medical mysteries that she was really good at helping her patients solve.
When she first came to see me and I was perplexed by her presentation, I went through a whole bunch of questions, then did an exam, and then developed my analysis plan of what type of testing were we going to do to try to figure this out.
It took 3 months, but they did figure it out. This is how Gwen wants to work. Take her time, figure things out. Like I said before, go slow. And actually have the time to dig in and help people. With Optum about to take over, she figured those days would be done. That said, she was still debating whether to leave. There was a lot to like about the lives they'd set up for themselves in Corvallis. And here's the reality, Dan. Over the last 20 years, doctors like Gwen spend less and less time as disease detectives and more time on paperwork, more time calling insurance companies. And that's the last thing Gwen wants to do. It's the last thing a lot of doctors want, but more administrative duties and rapid-fire patient appointments are increasingly the norm for lots and lots of U.S. physicians.
I've certainly heard, Alex, lots of docs tell me about these sorts of headaches. So I'd like to go a layer deeper here. I'm a little confused. If physicians don't want to practice this sort of like corporate medicine that we're talking about, people are probably wondering then, why are physicians selling their practices to hospitals, insurers, and all the rest?
Right. In a survey, doctors did tell the American Medical Association there are three big reasons why they're getting out of business for themselves. First, small practices get paid less than the big ones. Second, all that time they spend dealing with insurance approvals and other administrative stuff. And third, it's expensive to buy electronic health records and hire all the staff to run a practice.
And a lot of this, it sounds like, ultimately comes down to money.
Oh, yeah, it does. And you know, lots of doctors end up selling to hospital systems. 50% of physicians in the country now actually work for those big hospitals. And you know who, Dan, is actually the biggest boss, the single largest employer of doctors in the entire country? It's Optum, the company that just bought the practice where Gwen works in Western Oregon.
And again, Optum is the healthcare arm of the largest insurer in the country, United.
Right. The company now employs or affiliates with 90,000 doctors. That's 1 in 10 of all physicians in the entire country. Now, put all these stats together, close to 80% of all doctors work for hospitals, insurers, retailers, or private equity firms. This statistic comes from a report by the Physicians Advocacy Institute and consulting firm Avalere Health.
I had no idea, Alex, that that number was so high. So what do we know about what happens when these independent practices get gobbled up by bigger companies, basically when there's this consolidation?
So Dan, studies have found that typically prices go up when hospitals or private equity groups buy practices. Now, to just give you a sense of the scale, one study found prices rose, get this, 14% after hospital groups bought physicians. Which makes sense. Remember, independent practices said they're joining these bigger groups to get paid more by insurance companies. So that all lines up.
That does line up. And also, Alex, what happens to patients like the ones Gwen sees when these practices get sold?
The evidence on this is really limited. I mean, basically, the clearest thing that we can say as of right now is that there's no comprehensive evidence to suggest that it results in better health for people.
Okay, Alex, let's slow down for a second because there's so many moving parts here. You're saying there's evidence that shows when independent practices get scooped up by hospitals, prices go up. And you're saying when we see this consolidation, there's really no convincing, comprehensive evidence that the quality of care improves.
Yeah, that's correct.
And what about when you throw insurers into the mix, Alex? What about cost and quality there?
Dan, unfortunately, we really don't know how cost or quality changes. Optum, which buys up more practices than any other insurer, is pretty secretive about these deals, and that makes it hard to study.
Thanks for breaking all this down for us, Alex.
You got it, Dan.
After the break, why insurers are buying up these practices, and Gwen makes a final call whether to stay in Corvallis and work for Optum or pull up stakes.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about how physician practices owned by doctors have been scooped up by hospitals, insurers, and others over the last few decades. Now, more than 3/4 of docs in the U.S. are employees. And based on the evidence, this consolidation means prices go up and there's no clear benefit in terms of patient health. Helping us understand the consequences of this trend is reporter-producer Alex Olgan. So, Alex, it seems like there's a lot of downside to these deals.
For sure. Dan, this consolidation has been a slow burn. Most of these practice purchases are small, and they usually fly right under the radar of patients and even regulators. University of Chicago economist Thomas Woolman came up with a great term for this. He calls it stealth consolidation. Stealth because almost all of these deals are so small they're rarely reported to federal regulators and almost never investigated for any antitrust issues.
But it's my understanding that these deals are starting to get some more scrutiny. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. Federal officials are starting to pay more attention. But really, Dan, states are becoming more active in looking at these smaller deals. In fact, Oregon is one of a handful of those states, along with Massachusetts and New York, where officials now need to sign off on these deals. Actually, the Optum purchase of the Corvallis Clinic, that's the place where Gwen works, that caused a real stir here. Patients sent in more than 300 letters to the state asking it to block the deal. They were worried because of what happened to another practice in Oregon. This one is in Eugene.
What happened in Eugene?
Well, Optum bought the Oregon Medical Group there in 2020, and since then, it's been hemorrhaging doctors. More than 30 have left, and now the group is so short-staffed, they're sending letters telling people to find care elsewhere. Here's a longtime patient, Jeffrey Maleka. He gave an interview to a local TV station, KEZI.
I'm 77. My wife is 77. You know, we're close to needing a lot of care. And all of a sudden, we're at the curb.
And Dan, it's unclear how many people this is happening to. This patient crisis in Eugene, this is the kind of thing Gwen's worried about happening in her clinic, about 50 miles north in Corvallis. Will so many doctors leave that patients will struggle to get care?
Right. I mean, is she worried about her and her colleagues basically abandoning her patients and leaving them high and dry?
Yeah, she is. And that's one of the reasons she's really thinking about staying.
People are really struggling. There's not a lot of good options for them. And it makes me really sad.
On the other hand, staying could have meant a new role. Basically encouraging doctors to comb through patient records and document every potential illness just to get more money from Medicare. That's the program that treats 66 million older Americans and people with disabilities. Gwen did this in an old job, and she hated it.
It makes life as a doctor absolutely miserable, and my gut reaction to that was so emphatic of, oh my God, no way can I be the face of that. I cannot do that.
This kind of work often goes by the name upcoding. And the federal government is cracking down on this practice, basically when insurers exaggerate how sick patients are. In fact, the Justice Department is suing United and several other insurers for adding false diagnoses to patient charts. And Gwen says she does not want to be a part of it.
I don't believe in the way healthcare has gone and the insurance based practice that's really focused on using coding to extract as much money as possible, really to the benefit of the shareholders, not to the benefit of patients.
Dan, we reached out to Optum to ask about upcoding and Gwen's other concerns about how they might treat doctors. The company did not get back to us.
Alex, you've painted a bleak picture. Doctors leaving, patients getting all but fired, and more administrative work. Are there any pros to these deals?
Yeah, there are a few pros. I mean, doctors who own their own practices can get a big payday and they can retire. For those who stay, these companies take over a lot of the business and management headaches, and, you know, they just get to be an employee. And here's the really important thing, Dan. These deals can keep the doors open. I mean, that's what happened with Gwen's practice. The Corvallis Clinic was going to shut down unless somebody bought it.
Right. If the office closes, then patients would really be in a bind. In that way, the Optum deal is a clear pro. For Gwen, the benefit of staying would be to keep caring for her patients.
Yeah, that's right. Gwen told me that was a real pull. It's one thing to say, I'll be there for my patients. But Gwen and I talked about this a lot. What does showing up actually look like? Now, Dan, do you remember when we were talking about the woman who we called Sarah, who came to Gwen with a mysterious breathing problem?
Sure. The one with the diagnosis Gwen thought was odd.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you about what happened after Gwen and her patient Sarah spent 3 months getting to the bottom of things. And I'm telling you about it because, at least for Gwen, it epitomizes how she wants to show up. And this is pretty tough, Dan, because Sarah was diagnosed with a terminal lung disease, and she needs a lot of support.
My role has been really working with her on explaining what's going on, because she goes to the specialist, they tell her a bunch of stuff really quickly, and she doesn't, you know, get the gist of it.
The specialist explained to Sarah that her only hope would be a lung transplant, but because of her overall health, she was ineligible.
So I gently broke the news that she was not a transplant candidate. And she said, so that means I'm going to die of this disease. And we just sat with that for a few minutes.
Gwen has had a lot of these hard conversations over her career, and she's gotten good at it. This is how she wants to spend her remaining years in the profession.
A lot of these discussions are about what's most important to the patients. You have to give people time to think about what are alternative ways to live a good life during the time that she has. You know, I'm really happy that I helped people in that way.
When Gwen added up the reasons to stay and the reasons to go, it came down to this. She wanted to spend her remaining time as a doctor practicing the way that she wanted. And she knew that was unlikely to happen at Optum. So she decided to leave.
So where's Gwen going to go?
Funny enough, she's actually my neighbor now. She moved to Portland. She has a non-compete agreement, so she needed to find a job more than 25 miles away from any of the Corvallis Clinic's offices. Gwen landed at the big academic hospital in Portland called Oregon Health and Science University. But she left primary care. Her new job is helping patients get ready for surgeries and educating new doctors.
This is my last and final stop in my career. I feel like the main thing I can contribute now is teaching future doctors, helping them navigate this changing world.
Gwen's hoping to impart her disease detective and patient connection skills on the next generation of physicians, so that in 20 years, when she needs this care, it will be there.
Alex, thanks for your reporting on this.
You're welcome, Dan.
One final piece of news on physician practice consolidation. A few weeks after Optum bought the Corvallis Clinic, the company has set its sights on a 3,000 physician practice that's part of Steward Healthcare, a collapsing hospital system spread across 8 states. Massachusetts regulators are investigating the deal, and U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren has urged federal officials to do the same. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Tradeoffs. America's hospitals, health insurers, state and federal policymakers have all spent years and countless dollars trying to help a small but costly group of patients, people whose lives are so complicated by trauma, poverty, and other social problems that routine conditions like diabetes and asthma regularly turn into $10,000 hospital visits.
The idea that someone should go to the emergency room 100 times in a year is a cry for help and a sign of deep, deep system dysfunction. It should be fixable. We should address it. And we're clearly still struggling.
Despite those struggles, pioneers on the front lines of one of healthcare's toughest, priciest problems says progress has been made, that we know a lot more today about what works and what doesn't than we did just a decade ago. We take stock next time on Trade-Offs.
Thanks for listening to Trade-Offs. If you've just discovered us, remember to subscribe to the feed so you never miss an episode. Subscribing is free and easy on whichever podcasting app you use, the NPR app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. The Trade-Offs team is producers Alex Olgan and Ryan Levy, editors Kate Cahan and Deborah Franklin, executive director Jessica Silverman, marketing director Catherine Dougal, audience engagement lead Shannon Crane, with help from Kate Seepy, Kelly Osmondson, and Cedric Wilson, sound designer Andrew Perella, executive editor Dan Gorenstein, and senior producer Leslie Walker. The Trade-Offs theme song was composed by Ty Sitterman, with additional music this episode from Blue Dot Sessions and Epidemic Sound. Trade-Offs coverage of healthcare costs is supported in part by Arnold Ventures. Additional thanks to Hayden Rooklay, Aaron Fusey-Brown, Jane Zhu, Nick Jones, and Lisa Belimovich. Thanks also to all our listeners who helped to support our work, including Michael Richards, Teresa Brown-Gold, and Corinne Silverman. Our media partner is Side Effects Public Media, based at WFYI. Trade-Offs is supported by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Arnold Ventures, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, the Sozose Foundation, Just Trust, West Health, the California Healthcare Foundation, the Leonard Davis Institute at the University of Pennsylvania, and the National Institute for Healthcare Management Foundation. Our financial supporters are not involved in any decisions about our journalism. The views expressed in this episode are those of the individuals and not those of Trade-Off staff, advisors, or funders.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.